Welcome to Stash Chats, the sewing podcast that unpicks sewing room secrets and celebrates crafty collections. I'm your host, Yvette, co-founder of sewing organizer app Stash Hub, and I'm on a mission to help you fall in love with your stash. Each episode, I'm joined by a different member of the sewing community to chat about their unique stash, personal sewing journey, and what inspires them. This episode, I'm joined by Sandeep, owner of online fabric shop System Intarka. I ask her about how running a fabric shop impacts her personal stash, and we discuss some of her favourite fabrics and sewing patterns. Let's get into the episode.
Welcome to the first Stash Chats. We're really, really grateful to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited. Or a little bit scared.
I'm a bit scared as well because it's the first one. I've no idea how it's going to go, but I think because we already know each other, we're going to have a nice chill chat and yeah, it's going to be great fun.
Yeah.
Can we kick things off by just telling everyone a little bit about yourself, like when you started sewing, what you make, just to give a bit of context to when we start talking about your stash.
Okay, so I'm Sandy from System Intarka. And I have a stash that's absolutely out of control. So we'll just like put that out there to begin with. I started sewing in, I think, the summer of 2017, and quickly built up a stash, like very, very quickly. And it just, it got worse and worse. And then by 6 months time, I opened up a fabric shop. So.
The sewing started first, and then the fabric shop was like, I'm gonna have to sell some of this so I can justify buying it.
Pretty much, yeah.
So since starting System Intarka, have you found that like ordering fabric for the shop means you end up with less in your stash, or has it just increased your stash more and more?
I think slowly, like I've now enforce a rule on myself that I have to pay as a customer in my own fabric shop, and then that means I can't spend like hundreds of pounds each month on like as much fabric as I want. So yeah, it kind of helps me like slow down the kind of buying and the hoarding. Yeah, that's just the only way I can keep it under control.
Yeah, that's a good plan. That's something I often say to people as well, like even if financially you can afford it, like setting a budget can really help, like narrow down how much fabric you buy and like help you think about it, like because you don't want to blow your budget on day one and then you can't buy anything if you see something you really love. So it helps you think about it a bit more, having that budget in place.
Yeah, I mean, so, I don't have a specific budget, but it's just like you kind of start to feel a bit guilty once it starts to total up a bit.
Yeah. So with this kind of feeds into one of our questions that we got from Claire, from Claire Sews. So I don't know if she's on live right now, but I'll tag her if she can see it in the comments. But she said, what's the ratio of like System Intarka fabric to fabric from other shops in your stash?
Well, I've recently brought all of my System Intarka fabrics to work in the hopes that I prioritise them. And so the where I'm sitting at the moment is like a kitchen island. And so if you've got like two double base units of fabric, so imagine like a double, yeah. And then, so they're full of System Intarka fabric. It's not quite full, there is space, so I can add more. not the attitude I should have, but never mind. But then actually I do have a lot more at home. So I have like an IKEA PAX wardrobe, they're like a meter wide. So I've got a 2 meter one. One's like actual clothes, and then the other meter is shelves or slash drawers full of fabrics, and it's super tall as well, so it fits a lot in there. And then downstairs in the living room, there's a big, massive like box, and it's huge, and it's so heavy, and it's completely full of fabric as well. And all of this is from other shops. And yeah, it's quite bad.
Do you have like a system for storing your fabric in like types, or do you just put it where it will fit?
So in my wardrobe, I have like sectioned off each drawer. So there's like a silk, viscose, there's more budget friendly ones, and there's some that are just so special I can't touch. Then there's a couple of sections that haven't been pre-washed. So there is a slight organization to it, but it's not like perfect. And then in the big box, I pulled out loads of fabrics that I wanted to sew this summer, but there's like 10,000 different fabrics in there. So that's never gonna happen. But yeah, they're in the kind of priority list, I suppose.
If Ruth says, do you know how many meters you have in your stash?
I should upload them to Stash Hub and then I'd find out.
It's incredible how the meters do add up, because I feel like my stash is fairly small, but it's still, I've still got about 100 meters of fabric, and that just makes it seem like so much more.
I mean, yeah, I guess like when I think about it, maybe there's like close to, I don't know, would I say 1,000?
What's say more? I have no idea. You buy, when you buy, when you're like, I love this fabric, but I'm not sure what I'll make, what would you, how much would you get?
I always used to do 3.5, and then I realized that like I could get 5 meters. I was like, I can make multiple garments out of this like 5 meters of fabric. Because what happened was, is this girl who had bought something from We Are the Fabric store in like New Zealand, Australia, and it was like a licorice Marc Jacobs silk fabric, but she'd made like 4 garments out of it. So I was like, that's such a great idea. Anytime I absolutely love, love, love a fabric, I will just buy loads. So yeah, it's excessive. It's really unnecessary, but it means I have options.
Now you've got the choice. So if there's ever like a new pattern that comes out and you're like, need to make this, you can pull something from the stash.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, not that I ever will. I'll probably just start buying more fabric.
How do you feel about your stash? Like, do you find it inspiring or do you find it a bit much?
Honestly, it is a bit much. I do get overwhelmed by it. And I really wish it was like a lot smaller. I have massive regrets over building up such a big stash. What I did in the early days was I was just so addicted to buying. And anytime any fabric shop had a sale, or there was like a really new fabric shop that had opened, I would be like on Instagram every day, just like searching fabric sales and this, that and the other, and just buying things unnecessarily because they were on sale and, you know, yay. But it just ended up with like such a mountain of fabric that like, even though I knew what I could make with it, and I was like, oh yeah, this will be that, like 5 years later, this still sat there. And I really wish I had just kind of bought as I went along and just sewn a little bit, bought a little bit, and maybe just treated myself here and there. So like now when I do sales, if I remember to, I try to include in the newsletter, like just be mindful of what you're buying, because I know it's on sale, but only buy it if you need it, if you're going to want it, if you're going to wear it, if you're going to sew it. Like, just don't get carried away. As a business owner, that's daft for me to do. I should be saying buy it all. But I just don't want people to have regrets over their stash the way that I have regrets over mine.
But you people, for your business as well, you want people to sew things with the fabric they've bought from you as well, and not feel like they're just going to shove it in a cupboard and forget about it.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like I've been thinking about this a lot recently, but I feel like a fabric, it's not just a fabric. Like, every piece of fabric that you have is like potential. So if you cut into it, if you make something, you've narrowed its potential to that one thing, and then you don't like, if you don't like it, you've wasted its potential. Or if you were to de-stash it, then it's gone. It can't fulfill its potential with you anyway. Or like, then if it stays in the cupboard forever, it's still not meeting its potential. So it's just like this psychological thing, as well as it just being a fabric. Like, you have this connection to it and everything that it could possibly be. Like, especially if you've got 5 meters, there's like so many options of like literally anything. So it is really difficult, I think, especially with those precious fabrics that you were talking about, to like commit and like make something.
Yeah, it's tricky. But I think if you start thinking about how precious they are, you can also get like a bit of a, you don't want to cut into it, because it's like, yeah, what if you ruin it, or what if you do this, or what if you do that? And there's so many what ifs. So just things just don't get made, and it's, yeah, I think it's tricky. It's hard to kind of set your mind to a place where you have to just give yourself freedom to enjoy the fabric. Yeah, it's quite hard though.
But I find that's one of the things where, like, some of the things that I most enjoy making are with the fabrics that I've like just got. So like, you buy a new fabric, you're really inspired and you do it straight away, so then it doesn't get all that like potential stank on it, and you're like yes, I've done my idea, I've made it, and it's like come in and then straight back out again. And I feel like those projects are so satisfying because you're like, yes, I've saved it from the stash, and also I've got the thing, and I've actually made something and I really like it. I think it is also satisfying to like make something up with a fabric you've had for ages, but it is also, I don't know, I feel like it's a bit more stressful because it's like an old friend that you're taking the scissors to.
Yeah,
it's like if you gave your mum a haircut, you'd never hear the end of it if it was a really bad job. But the truth is, I identify with the potential thing. I've made something, then wish I made something else. But yeah, you just have to move on. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's better to sew it in the end rather than have it in the cupboard. But yeah, I think you can get in your head a bit, especially like with where most of you do sewing like on your own at home, you can just overthink things a bit much. Whereas if you had someone who's like, just go for it, like, you know, you like that pattern, you've got a lovely fabric. I always admire Sandy's thoughtful approach to running sales at System Intarka and the way he has a much considered approach to sewing, pattern buying, etc. than me. Yeah, I do think it's really important to be mindful. Like, yeah, one of our mottos at Stash Hub is like, love your stash. And we just like, you know, I don't want to feel like, you know, I don't want to tell anyone what their stash should be like, because obviously it's different. But to feel like they know their stash and it works for them, I think is something that's very important to us. So yeah, my business is promoting mindful sales, I think, is a good part of that as well.
That's good. Yeah, I really do need to start uploading onto the Stash Hub, because I think it will really help once I know how much I've got, and I think it will kind of ease the pressure of like, if this goes wrong, I have like a gazillion more fabrics. Like, there's so much more fabric to enjoy, so it's okay. And yeah, I think that'd be like really good, just to be able to physically see it all in one place. And yeah.
Also, I find like when I see all my fabrics in Stash Hub, it made me realize how I've got a lot of fabrics that are like quite similar or like on a similar theme. And so it made me realize like what I actually like as well. So and also not end up with making things that are so similar. So like one of the new Lady McElroy fabrics, like I really, really like it, but then I'm like, I'm actually not going to get this because I already have a fabric and have made a garment with a different fabric that's like the exact same colors and like similar scale florals. And so I just need to like not end up with a whole wardrobe that's all the same, because then what's the point of sewing if everything looks the same?
True, but then sometimes you think like, if it works, then it's quite like nice to have, you know, more of the same if it's like a comfort garment or something like that. But I guess it can be boring and repetitive as well, so yeah, it's one of those, isn't it?
Well, we've had some people that have said when they've been doing their Stash Hub, it's helped them realize that they've accidentally bought the exact same fabric two times, and they're like, well, at least I know I've got consistent taste. Have you got any fabrics that you'd like to show us, Sandy?
Yes, I've picked out, this is the fabric that got me into sewing.
Oh, wow. Wow.
This. So it's a Rifle Paper Co. rayon, and long story short, my school teacher's big sister sewed, like, and had been sewing for a while. And I remember, like, I followed her on Instagram, and she made a pair of, I think it was the Carolyn pajamas in this fabric, and this was before I could sew, and I obsessed over those, like, pajamas, and I was like, I wish I could sew, I wish I could have that fabric. And then it just kind of, yeah, it spurred me on to learn, and eventually I managed to get hands on the fabric as well. But now it's just so like precious, I'm too scared to get into it. It's had so many like different plans. Like at one point it was going to be some marigold trousers by Tilly and the Buttons, and then like different dresses of all sorts. But now I'm just like, I don't know what I'll ever do with it. But it's just, maybe I should just make those pajamas. That may just be like the thing I do, because that's what started it all. But yeah,
legacy of that fabric. Is it the rayon or is it cotton?
It's a rayon. But rifle pimco rayons are so lovely because they're nice and stable, so they don't like shift around. So it's like sewing a cotton, isn't it?
Yeah, those will be really comfy pajamas as well. Like they'll be so soft and luxurious, you could just like waft around in them.
Exactly.
I was quite jealous of everyone's lovely handmade pajamas when I was at the big sew off when everyone else got changed. I was like, I need to make some nice pajamas. Like, I've been inspired.
Your saguaro set was amazing though. I really loved that. So I need to make one.
That was my very cunning plan, where I thought the saguaro set is basically pajamas, but I can wear them on the tube home.
That was really so fun. I was trying to think if I could do that. And I was like, is there like an outfit or something that I can change into? And then I thought, can I just wear that outfit that I was wearing? And I was like, no, I literally look like I'm in pajamas. I don't think I can. Although maybe I could have done and just been like, I don't care right now.
Yeah, that was crazy, staying up all night. But it was kind of like sleepover vibes.
It was. It was really fun. I definitely struggled on the way home, though.
Yeah.
At the train, and I just accepted that I was going to be like the unhinged lady on the train. And I sat down, and then I was like, stay awake. And I literally said it out loud. And then I fell asleep. And then I woke up, and I was like, stay awake. I just had to repeat over and over again. Thankfully, I managed to like get to my stuff safely and get home, but it was tough.
Yeah.
I think it,
for anyone who's watching who doesn't know what we're talking about, I think it was only last week, it was the big sew off, and Sandeep sewed 24 hours at the new craft house and then had to get the train back home. So yeah, that's why it was a bit crazy.
Yeah, that was challenging, but it was such a good day.
Yeah. And it raised over £14,000 as well, which is incredible.
I can't believe it. Like, yeah,
go us. Like slump in the middle of the night where we didn't get any donations for like 2 hours, and we were just like, what's happening?
You were doing so well on those lives. Like, you just really kept it going. It was amazing.
At the point where I got delirious and I was just like, I'm just gonna dance every time the live comes, otherwise I'll just be sitting there like, oh, what's happening?
I was just like, oh.
So are you working on any sewing projects at the moment, Sandy?
I'm working on a Laura dress, in fact two Laura dresses. So that's by True Vibe. It's a like low cut button down front sort of dress. So yeah, I've got two in the works. I've cut out another project, and I have another unfinished project. This is really unlike me. I'm the sort of person who starts a project, finishes it, and then starts another one. And I just don't know what's happened, but in the last like 2 weeks or a week or so, I've just gone a bit over the top. I think because I think after the big sew off, I just think like now I can sew all of the things all at once. And I'm like, I actually can't.
Yeah. Oh, that's really exciting though. How many Laura dresses have you got already?
I have two so far. So then I'll have four once these are done. But I would like to make more and change the sleeves next time. I'm not 100% sold on the sleeves. So yeah, I need to figure out a replacement, but I've already like prepped these ones, so I can't like change them now. But yeah, maybe Laura might be a bit different.
I really like your Laura dresses that you've already done, so I'm really excited to see the other ones like in other fabrics. That will be a really collection that you can have.
Yeah, I think it'll be one of those patterns that I'm just going to have like 10,000 of. It's like, it just works.
Yeah, well, when you know a pattern fits as well, that's quite a good way to work through some of your stash, because you don't feel like you have to get go and do the twirl, and then that stalls you, and then you just don't do that whole plan.
Yeah. Do you have a like pattern that's your go-to?
I've made quite a lot of True Bias Romy dresses, because they're, so it's like raglan, sort of kind of foolish long sleeves, and then it's just a sort of smock dress, and it's just like wearing a really big comfy sack. That's the one that I made in that fruit salad fabric that I got from you, the really bright print with all the fruits
Okay.
on.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
I've got four of those now, and it's just quite easy to whip up. So I quite like that one, and I've made a lot of hacks of the Betty dress as well, the sew over it one, because
Cute.
it was one of the first patterns that I bought, and I did so much work on like fitting the bodice, so the bodice fits really well. So now I'm like, I'll just put some sleeves on the Betty. I'll just do a big, different neckline on the Betty. I've never actually made it with the circle skirt, but I've like hacked like everything out of the bodice, like.
Yeah, I think circle skirts are like, they look amazing, but hemming them is just like, just evening out any sort of hem is just, yeah, I just don't want to do that.
Also, like with my fabric buying habits, I'm kind of tight on buying fabric. So if the pattern is like 2.8 meters, I'll be like, I'll get 2.5 then. And you can't get away with that with a circle skirt. Like, you need a lot of fabric for a circle skirt. So yeah, sometimes I've fallen foul of that and been like, oh no, I'm gonna have to order another meter, or like just had to change the plan like halfway through. But yeah, some. Often it does work. Like, some of the companies have very generous suggestions, especially if they suggest a length for like quite a wide range of sizes. And I usually just ignore the cutting layout and just Tetris everything. But yeah, also with a circle skirt, you can't use a directional print, because they go up down on the back unless you cut it up in a special way. I don't know. But yeah, so. Haven't done the circle skirt, but done a lot of different Betty variations.
Nice.
Does anyone have any questions for Sandeep while we're live? Yeah, as I was saying earlier, I'm going to try and put this on YouTube if you didn't manage to catch the whole thing. But yeah, that's technology pending.
It's one of those things, isn't
Yeah, have you got anything else that you want to say generally about stashing or any other fabrics you want to talk about?
I can show you my absolute other favorite fabric.
Go
This is,
for
and yeah, this I have found this print so far in Silk Crepe de Chine, silk satin, and I found it in Cotton Lawn recently as well. It is the most beautiful print. Oh no, I just really, I'm gonna struggle to hold this up again.
it.
It makes me happy just looking at it. It's called Prospect Road, and it's absolutely stunning. I bring it closer.
This is a
It's just
little piece, right?
like, yeah.
Like, so beautiful.
And like the colors are like really like vibrant and just beautiful. It's got like this lovely sort of landscape design, and oh, I just love it so much. So yeah, this is like one of my favorite fabrics on the like the whole planet. And if I could, if they made it in like any other base cloth, I would just buy it over and over again because it just looks so good. But the problem is now, like, how do I ever cut into it? But I think because I now have like three different base cloths, I should just like be like, okay, this one I can cut into, and this one's not like precious. And then I'll have one that will stay precious, and then one that will have a bit of thought into it. I might make like the hazel dress. I made a hazel dress previously in another Liberty Silk. It was that blue dress with like sun kind of things on
Yes, I love that
it.
one. Did you wear it on the big sew-off actually at the start? Were you wearing that one?
Yeah, I think I did actually. Yeah, so I might make another one of those because that's just quite a fun dress. But takes up a lot of fabric.
Quite easy to sew, the hazel.
Is it what, sorry?
Is it easy to sew?
Yeah, it really is. It comes together really quickly. And actually, I would say that if you ever wanted to use like a silk satin, that is the only pattern on the planet that I'd be like, I'd feel safe enough to sew, because it doesn't have like armholes. The only kind of curves it has are the shoulders and the neckline. But I guess if you stabilize them like quickly, they're not going to stretch out, and they're like some of the first seams that you sew anyway. So you've got less chance of like things just stretching out and going all wrong. So yeah, actually maybe I should use a silk satin and make that pattern, because then I feel confident to use it.
You, and you know it's a good pattern, and you've got the gorgeous fabric to show it off.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got a couple of questions come in. So Natalie says, what made you want to open System in Tarka?
It was by accident. I hadn't planned to. Kind of leading on from having too much fabric, I ordered some Rifle Paper Co. fabric in like a pre-sale like years ago. And it arrived here to the UK to me really quickly before any fabric shop had got it. And I'd bought too much anyway. So I thought, if it sticks on my Etsy, if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, I keep it and I'm fine with that. But it sold. And then I was like, okay, maybe I could just test this out. I'll buy some fabric at wholesale. It wasn't actually wholesale, so I didn't actually make any money, but I thought I did. And then that sold as well. And then that's when I started to like invest a bit more and actually, yeah, create a business out of it. It just kind of happened, yeah, from being a fabric addict.
I feel like Rifle Paper Co. is like so integral then for your whole journey, like getting you into sewing, getting you into having a sewing business.
It absolutely
amazing.
Is.
I think System in Tarka is one of the best stockists of Rifle Paper Co. in the UK anyway, like, because you often have like lots of different prints from all the lines.
Yeah, I try to, yeah.
Yeah, they're really, really beautiful designs. Ruth says, what are your deciding factors before you buy fabric for your own stash? Like, what makes you choose it?
Nowadays, it's something that I just can't, like, if I'm shopping from another fabric shop, it will be something that I just can't source myself, or like I can't meet the minimums to stock myself. And it has to just be something that's really different. I generally buy internationally, so I generally go towards like Blackbird Fabrics or We Are the Fabric Store, or I think it's Draper's Fabric, I think they're in New Zealand. There's like just generally like international ones that just don't have the stuff that everyone else does, so it just makes it a bit more special and exciting. Yeah, it's just got to be a bit of a treat really.
Yeah. So when you, because you're ordering from abroad, do you tend to do like bigger hauls at once to make it work?
Because I have this mindset where if I'm going to order from far away, I want to not just buy one piece, because it just doesn't feel like the carbon footprint on that one bit of fabric just doesn't feel right. So if I've placed a bigger order, I feel more comfortable doing that big shipment. My stash doesn't enjoy that, but I enjoy the unboxing. But then that's the same what happens with when I stock stuff in System in Tarka. Like, if one thing goes out of stock, I won't restock it until I can order a gazillion things, because it just doesn't feel right. Even if it's coming just from like England somewhere, like, I won't do it. I'll wait, which probably isn't the best thing because supply and demand, but like, I just don't feel comfortable like shipping things in all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think sustainability is like really important to customers as well. So to know that you're mindful of that when you run your business as well, I think is very valuable, and it's what sets the small businesses apart, because they, you know, actually care about these things rather than a big business who is all about the bottom line. And Marie says, is your stash quite varied in fabric types and colours, or have you got like a specific that you go to?
I was thinking about this, and actually, like, I don't like a lot of my stash because I bought so much stuff in the sales years ago, and I just bought them because I was like, oh, this silk is really cheap, and they're just colours I wouldn't wear. So now, like, I tend to go for brighter colors and things, but yeah, and I guess I sew those pieces more quickly. But in terms of like fabric bases, I'm generally buying viscoses and cotton lawns. I do need to start buying like more practical things like outerwear fabrics and stuff like that, because there's so many gaps in my wardrobe. But as I guess as I sew more and start raiding my stash more, I'm realizing what's missing. And then I think that's when my stash will start to kind of grow but in a better way that I'll actually use. Yeah.
Yeah, personally, I feel like the summer sewing is just so much more fun than like winter stuff. Like, I'm not sewing corduroy when I could sew like a lovely, brightly coloured viscose dress. And well, unless anyone wants to sneak in a last minute question, I'm gonna think we're gonna start wrapping it up here just so we can like, yeah, not have the episodes going too long. But yeah, definitely check out System in Tarka, which is Sandeep's fabric shop, if you want some inspiration for your own stash. Because yeah, Sandeep's got an amazing eye for fabric, and she's got some like individual prints as well, like the one that you're wearing. What's the one you're wearing called? Do you still have it?
This one's called Sparks, and yeah, it's in stock.
Amazing. So yeah, I think that's really like good when fabric shops have like unique fabrics. I feel like that's much more exciting. It's much more tempting for me anyway. Yeah, next week we've got on Zoe from Check Your Thread podcast,
Oh.
who's also Bozo blog host of the Me Made May challenge. So Zoe's been doing the what's it last so a standing challenge, if anyone's heard of that. So she hasn't bought fabric at all for like the whole year, I think. So
Wow.
that's going to be really interesting to hear how that's gone and how that's affected her stash. But yeah, let us know if you know if there's any guests you want to see on in the future, or maybe we can have Sandeep back on in a year and see how her stash has changed in that time. But yeah, thank you everyone for joining the first Stash Chats.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to Stash Chats wherever you listen to podcasts to tune in to more great conversations with the sewing community. If you're interested in organising your own sewing stash, be sure to check out Stash Hub app, available on iOS, Android and web. Links with more information about Stash Hub and the show notes for this episode can be found in the description.